Father in heaven,
I thank you for your Holy Spirit, for blessing our service, and now I ask you to continue to do it as you present to us your thoughts, to bolster our spirits, to strengthen our courage, and to grow our faith, to see and know that we have a God that cannot be described. Lord, use me in spite of me, and let the peace of heaven rest on this congregation so that we don't miss a crumb that falls off the table for the feast you prepared for us. So take charge now, and thank you, you will, because we are your sons and your daughters, and because we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. The introduction to our sermon today is found in Jeremiah 26. Children, open your Bibles. And by the way, children, at the end of the sermon, I have something for you. So pay attention. Don't let your mom and dad fall asleep. Jeremiah 26. This is amazing. As we read these verses, these eight verses, I want you to listen very carefully to what is said here about our God. Jeremiah 26, starting with 12. Everybody there? All right. Then Jeremiah spoke to all the princes and all the people, saying, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city with all the words that you have heard. Now therefore amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent concerning the doom that he has pronounced against you. As for me, here I am in your hand. Do with me as seems good and proper to you. But know for certain that if you put me to death, you will surely bring innocent blood on yourselves, on this city, and on the inhabitants. For truly the Lord has sent me to you to speak all these words in your hearing." So the princes and all the people said to the priests and the prophets, "This man does not deserve to die, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God." And then certain of the elders of the land rose up and spoke to all the assembly of the people, saying, "Micah of Moresheth prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spoke of all the people of Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Zion will be plowed like a field, Jerusalem shall be heaped up in ruin, the mountain of the temple like the bare hill of the forest." Did Hezekiah, the king of Judah, and all Judah put Micah to death? Did he not fear the Lord and seek the Lord's favor? And the Lord relented concerning the doom which he had pronounced against them. The title of the sermon today is "The Foundation of His Action and His Character." And I want to invite you to take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Micah, and let us see why they would even threaten to kill Micah. Turn to the book of Micah, verse 1, chapter 1. Can you find Micah? It's back there somewhere, right? All them little prophets. Folks, this book is incredible. I'm just thankful to the Lord. Verse 1, chapter 1, take a look. Micah, we're going to see why he was even being threatened with death. And after I read the book, I was so thankful he didn't die. Look what it says here. "The word of the Lord that came to Micah of Moresheth in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, king of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem." Now take a look at the map and you'll see where Moresheth is, how it's located in proximity to Jerusalem. And I want you to notice some facts. First of all, we know very little about Micah. We do know he was a contemporary with Isaiah, who also prophesied in Jerusalem, and at the same time as Hosea, but Hosea was up in the northern kingdom. Micah was a country boy. Isaiah was from the courts in Jerusalem. We do not know what happened to Micah. We're not told. And Micah reigned, or did his ministry, at the beginning of Jotham, which was 750, and the beginning of Hezekiah was 716 B.C. And so I put up there a list of the bottom kings that you can't see, just for your convenience. It's right here. Jotham was the 11th king out of 20. Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah. This is the period of time in which Micah prophesied. So let's take a look at the Bible and the book of Micah and see exactly what it teaches us today about the foundation of his actions and his character. So, let's take a look at verses 6 through 7 in chapter 1. Here's what it says. Micah wrote, "Therefore, I will make Samaria a heap of ruins in the field, places for the plant for planting a vineyard. I will pour down her stones into the valley. I will uncover her foundation. All her carved images shall be beaten to pieces, and all her pay as a harlot shall be burned with the fire, and all her idols I will lay desolate, for she gathered it from the pay of a harlot." Okay? Now we get a little idea of why they might have wanted to part Micah from his head. He spoke very plainly. And remember, folks, it says in verse number 1, he spoke not just to Samaria. And remember, there was 18 kings of Samaria. All 18 were evil. Every single one of them. And out of the 20 kings of the southern kingdom found in Jerusalem, only 8 of them were good. That's not very good. And so here Micah is preaching to the people what God told him to say. Verse 12. Notice it says, "For the inhabitants of Meroth pined for good, but disaster came down from the Lord to the gate of Jerusalem." Destruction and annihilation for both Samaria and Jerusalem. Take a look at chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Oh, by the way, what am I doing? I'm taking 7 chapters of the book of Micah. I'm trying to water them down to the saline points so we can get to the real essence, the foundation of his action and his character. And so from chapter 2, 3 and 4, "Therefore saith the Lord, behold, against this family I am devising disaster, from which you cannot remove your necks, nor shall you walk haughtily, for this is an evil time. In the day one shall take up a proverb against you, and lamentation with a bitter lamentation, saying, we are utterly destroyed. We have changed the heritage of my people. How he has removed it from me. To a turncoat he has divided our fields." Micah got right to the point, folks. He told him exactly what the Lord wanted him to say. But now let me show you as we move towards the foundation. What is the foundation? By the way, who's the his? Foundation of his action and character. Yeah, you're right. Whoever said that. We're looking at God's character and action. Take a look at what Micah then says to the people. Chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. He says, "I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together like sheep of the fold. Like a flock in the midst of their pasture, they shall make a loud noise because of so many people. The one who breaks open will come out before them. He will break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. Their king will pass before them with the Lord at their head. Wow! So as we move through the glop in verse, in chapter 1 and 2 of the condemnation and terror and destruction, all of a sudden we get to these two verses that brings to the attention of the people something about the foundation and the actions of our God. Well, let's move on as we put this together. Micah chapter 3. Just look at two verses. 4. Then they will cry to the Lord, but I will not hear them. Verse 4. He will even hide His face from them at this time, because they have been evil in their deeds. Verse 12. Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed like a field, Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruin, and the mountain of the temple like the bare hill of the forest. Wow. But now we get to Micah 4, verse 1 says this. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow to it. Many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of our God Jacob. He will teach us His way, and He will walk in the path. For out of Zion the law shall go forth. Verse 6 and 7. In that day, says the Lord, I will assemble the lame. I will gather the outcast and those whom I have afflicted. I will make the lame a remnant. And the outcast a strong nation. So the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from now on, even forever. Anybody want to say, praise the Lord, hallelujah? In the midst of all this catastrophe and disaster, the Lord is speaking to His people. This is what I want to do. Is there anybody here in our assembly who is lame? Is there anybody here in our assembly that feels outcast? Is there anyone here today at church who's afflicted? I want you to know that God's purpose is to heal you in spite of all the sin around us and any sin that might be in us. Well, Micah goes on, folks. Take a look at Micah 4, and we're going to look at verses 9 and 10. Now, why do you cry aloud? Is there no king in your midst? Have your counselors perished? For the pangs have seized you like a woman in labor. Be in pain and labor to bring forth the daughter of Zion. Like a woman in birth pangs, for now you shall go forth from the city. Here it is. You shall dwell in the field, and Babylon, to Babylon you shall go. There you shall be delivered. There the Lord will redeem you from the hand of your enemy. Chapter 5, verse 1. And gather yourselves in troops, O daughter of the troops. He has laid seed against you. They will strike the judge of Israel with a rod on the cheek. I'm trying to take the saline points. You got to understand, prior to this, it talked about the judges of Israel, the priests of Israel, the prophets, who were all out for gain, personal benefit, ripping off the people. It's terrible. In fact, we'll get to a verse that specifically says that. And so Micah is telling them what God wants them to know for a very special purpose. And in the process, folks, what is revealed to us is the foundation of His actions and His character. For notice what He says next in chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler of Israel. Wow! Whose going forths are from everlasting to everlasting. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time that he who is in labor has given birth. The remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock. Amen? In the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of his name, the Lord his God, they shall abide, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. And this one shall be peace, 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 peace. How many of you have peace? If you have Jesus, you have peace. If you do not have Jesus, you do not have peace. In the midst of all of this, we are given a promise of the Messiah coming. Folks, to a condition described here, would you trust your child? But yet God trusted His Son to us, knowing full well what we would do to Him. And Jesus came. And Jesus came. Well, I'm not done yet, but I'm getting to the good part. It's taken a long time to get there. Whew! The foundation of His actions and His work. Micah 7, 1 through 3. Woe is me, for I am like those who gather summer fruit, like those who glean vintage grapes. There is no cluster to eat, and the first ripe fruit which my soul desires. The faithful man has what? Perished from the earth. And look at the next line. And there is no one upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. Every man hunts his brother with a net, that they may successfully do evil with both hands. The prince asks for gifts. The judges seek bribes. And the great men utter his evil desire. So they scheme together. Whew. You know, we're to the last chapter, folks. So what are we going to do about all this? By the way, what is the foundation of his actions and his characters? All right, so turn with me to Micah 7, 18 and 20. And here's what I was racing to get to. Who is a God like you, Micah says. By the way, you know what the meaning of the word of the name Micah is? Who is like God? Who is like God? Pardoning iniquity, passing over the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage. He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins in the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from this day of old. Our God, who is like our God? There is no one like our God. None of the idols, none of the statues, none of the other gods of other nations and religions are like our God. Why? He pardons iniquity. We better say amen. We're all sinners. Pardons. He lifts them to care, to take away. Passes by means through or over to cover, to go beyond. He delights, has pleasure, favor, is pleased with mercy. Mercy, kindness, loving kindness. Goodness, faithfulness. That's what the Hebrew word means. He has compassion on us. To love, especially to compassion. He subdues. To tread down. To bring, to force, to keep under. To bring into subjection. And he casts out. Throw down. Throw away. Hurl. Who is a God like our God? the name of Micah. And then he gives the very thing that all of you and I need. Are you plagued with sin, my friend? And notice it talks about iniquity, sins, transgressions. That means that every single person that's referred to in these verses are guilty. And that's why he tells us, don't fret, don't worry. Why? Because he loves to pardon iniquity. He loves to pass over the transgressions. And notice, of the remnant of his heritage, he does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and he will subdue our iniquities. Friends, this is our hope. And at a time when Micah was called and was preaching, it was during this time, by the way, when Sargon, the Assyrian king, came with his army to Samaria and leveled it. And then his grandson, Sennacherib, comes with his army to Jerusalem, and Hezekiah repents, and one angel comes and kills 185,000 soldiers and delivers Jerusalem from sudden doom. And by the way, you know the story, don't you? You cheated and gone ahead, right? Jerusalem just fell back into their own sin to where finally Babylon had to come and level the city. I cannot tell you how thankful I am and how motivating it is to me for the God that we have. And so I don't want you to be discouraged. I don't care what trial you're facing, what struggle you have. I want you to know, Micah said, who is a God like you? You know, if we had the time and we turn to Exodus, we'd read the song of Moses that they sang after they crossed the Red Sea. And in the midst of it, he says, who is like unto thee, Lord God among gods? Who is like our God? Nobody. And that's why we are willing to be Seventh-day Adventist Christians that follow the Bible teachings in spite of the fact it's against everything taught in the world today and the fact that it restricts us because our God is like no other God. So children, check this out. Who is this, children? Who is it? It's Jonah being spit out. Now I don't want you to miss the whole point of the story of Jonah. I wanted to show you this to get your attention. Do you remember that Jonah got mad at God at the end of all this? He got mad at God, and here's what he said to God. Are you ready for this? Who is like our God? And Jonah says, therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish, for I knew that you are gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, who relents from doing harm. And now you made me look like a fool because I told them judgment was coming. One of the saddest utterances in the Bible is it says it'll be more comforting in the judgment for the people of Nineveh than there is for us who know the truth. And so Jonah tells us about the love of God. Well, Micah 6:8. Who knows what Micah 6:8 says? Yeah, you want to sing it, right? I do. In case you didn't know that in that book, it says, who has shown thee, O man, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God? He has shown thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of thee But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. You know, for our frail human beings that we are, our only hope is the Holy Spirit. I have a question to ask. We see that the foundation of God's actions and character is mercy. You know, in those verses 18, 19, 20, two times it said mercy. Jonah said it. It's repeated all through the Bible. Merced, mercy. Are you merciful? Has somebody offended you and you refuse to make it right or to forgive them for what they did? Are you prejudiced against any race whatsoever? Then you need to sing the song every morning. He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee? To be like me, to do justly, fair, honest, and to love mercy, forgiving, and to walk humbly with your God. That's what our God wants us to do. Had the Israelites done that in Jerusalem, it wouldn't have been destroyed. If they had done that in Samaria, it wouldn't have been destroyed. Children, in my backyard in Cedar Lake, I had a pond. And the pond had frogs in it. And we loved to go to the pond and roll up our pant legs and take off our shoes and catch frogs. Jenny didn't like it when we did that because every time we got out, we had leeches all over our legs, sucking our blood. Peter, why do you take the boys into the pond? Well, we got to catch frogs. It's fun. And one day I was walking out by the pond in the early afternoon in the spring. And it's so funny. I'm just, you know, standing there because I love to stare. I can't tell you, boys and girls, the things that are in the pond. I can't. It's just incredible. And if you stand there and you look and you listen, you see things and you observe things that are just amazing about God and His creation. And all of a sudden, I'm sure I heard, and I thought, what? And I thought, it's over there by the edge of the pond. And I walked over there by the edge of the pond, and sure enough, I found a gardener snake that had captured a frog. Now, you may look at that and think that frog's too big for that. No, for unlike any other creature that God made, a snake not only opens its mouth, we do that, but he also opens, it goes like this. And so he can swallow anything. And what they do is, slowly but surely, they wait until they turn it head first, and then they begin to swallow. And I could hear the frog crying out. And I grabbed that snake because when a snake is busy eating, he's not going to move anywhere. By the way, if you say, yeah, but the snake will bite you. No, there's a frog in his mouth. I grabbed that snake by the back of the neck. I lifted it up. I took that frog by the hind leg and I pulled it right out. And then I kind of threw the snake. I don't like snakes, guys, but I like frogs. I took that little frog. Good little frog. You stay away from that frog. And all of a sudden, boys and girls, in all honesty, I realized I'm like God in that instant. Because the frog does not stand a chance once the snake has a hold of the frog. Imagine he gets him by the back and literally is able to work it around like this. And once they're in that position, it just goes like this.
I was like God.
That frog had no hope, no protection whatsoever. And that's what our God is like. He is merciful. That is the foundation of His actions and His character. And I want you to be encouraged to hang in there, because I can tell you without reservation, it's going to get worse. But we have a God who relents. Did you miss that? Did you miss that? Jonah said, I knew you would relent. And Jeremiah, they said, and God relented and they didn't kill Micah. Who is a God like ours? Father, I want to thank you for being a God so incredible that I have no words to describe it adequately, no matter how many huddle up with me and all the words we can think of to explain you. It's still impossible. And forgive us if we have looked at the bad instead of the good. Help us to remember the cross of Calvary, which clearly teaches there's no price that you're not willing to pay in order to save us, and we can count on you. Lord, let there be decisions made in this congregation today. Help them, us, Lord, to come into contract with you the way you did with the children of Israel, making a covenant. Lord, I want to do better. I want to be more faithful. I want to spend time every day in my Bible and prayer. Lord, I want to be kinder than I am. I'd like to forgive someone. Give me the courage to do it so that I can be like you instead of like me. Lord, let these decisions be made. And thank you for always hearing and answering, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.